from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it has been just 3 years since I've had the opportunity to address you all again and bring you the good news. And once again, MJ gives me the topic of death. She called me early in the season and said, which one would you like? And I said, I can take any of them. She said, you'll take death. Giving up death for Lent. It's actually a joke that some pastors make. I know I've made it. I told my staff just before Ash Wednesday, no deaths this Lent. Lent is full enough. Let's just pray that nobody dies. And of course, that's not how it is in most of our congregations. Death doesn't stop for anyone or anything. And in fact, just about an hour ago, I was at a bedside of a parishioner who had just died. It doesn't stop. Giving up death for Lent. Do you remember the old saying, there's nothing certain in this life but
death.
And there are people who can avoid taxes. But not death. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is your sting? Well, I think we've all felt it. When we've lost loved ones, or when we've fought for loved ones to keep living. You have your own experiences, I'm sure. I think my most difficult death to accept was that of my mother. She had lung cancer. And to give you a little background, of course, my husband works in hospice. And I sit by deathbeds on a weekly basis, at least. And the rest of my family does not. And so the doctors said, if we treat her, she's got about 2 years. If we don't treat her, she has about 24 months. Some of the family said, let's treat her. Some of the family said, let's not. But in the end, I don't know if you all know this statistic, but lung cancer, when it hits stage 4, it's 2 or 3 years, either way. And that was probably my hardest death to process. You never get old enough to lose your mother, right? So this morning, as I'm getting ready to stop by a nursing home and make this bedside visit and run past the church and finish a couple bulletins, I got an email from one of my cousins. Now, this cousin lives many states away from where I grew up, but she still keeps in touch with an elderly aunt who lives in my hometown. The elderly aunt said, "There was a guest preacher here last weekend, and he was wearing this interesting prayer shawl." They call it prayer shawl. We call it a stole. And so she went up and talked to him about it. I said, "Where did you get that? It's quite interesting." And he told them about the woman who made it. And of course, the woman who made it was my mother. And she made them for all the pastors that she knew. And suddenly, death didn't connect us so much as our shared faith, our shared hope in the gospel, our shared belief that death is not the end. This was her signature. She loved, I don't know how many quilters we have here, but she loved the cathedral windows. And she would say there's 100 stitches in each of these little blocks. Death doesn't win. But how much of our time truly do we spend trying to hold on to life? Now, it's an ingrained instinct in us to want to live, and certainly to hold on to the people that we love most. I remember one time I was in a car with my son, and we were coming over this great big hill, and it was winter time, but it seemed nice out. But then we hit a huge patch of black ice. So he and I are going down this hill, and I'm not in control. The car is going sideways. And it's this little blue Hyundai that's out in the parking lot, right? There's nothing between us and the light posts and the trees. Nothing. And I remember my only thought was, don't let anything happen to him. And that's, you know, a parental kind of instinct. Don't let anything happen to him. I didn't mind death. We know where we're going. But holding on to our loved ones, well, that's a whole different story. And yet we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are people of faith and that death is not the end. Now, that story ended quite happily, and I don't know how it happened, but I think most of you who are people of faith probably do, because we got to the bottom of the hill. We were still going pretty fast, and I was doing everything the driver's ed instructors told you not to do. It was like I'm cranking in the wrong direction. And suddenly, we were on the opposite side of the road on the shoulder. We did a complete 180, and we were fine, and we were out of the way of traffic. Thank you, Jesus. But we hold on. My husband, of course, as you know, works in hospice. And one of the statistics that he carries with him is 30% of every $100 of Medicare funds that are spent, 30 of every $100 of Medicare money is spent on the last 6 months of life. Think about that. 30 of every $100 of Medicare spent on the last 6 months of life. What does that say? It says that we are investing a lot into holding on past the time when God has told us our loved ones are ready to go. By the way, only half of a dollar of those $100 is spent on hospice. So 50 cents of that 100 is spent on hospice. $29.50 is spent on mostly extraordinary measures. People of faith, why do we do this? Let's go back to Scripture. Jesus John 14 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is life. John 11. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." See, she's doing what we all do. "Can't I hold on just a little longer? I know you'll take care of him after death, but what I want, Lord, is to keep my loved one here a little longer." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Do you believe this? Let's have a big yes.
Yes!
From Romans, chapter 8. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." There is nothing between us and the love of God. Paul also writes, "Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Whether we live or whether we die. And so are our loved ones. It's hard to let go. And I think God built that into us too. But trust. We talk about trust kind of as a muscle. It has to be used in order for it to function well. It has to be stretched every once in a while. We have to say, "Lord, I'm going to give this to you because I don't know what to do. And if I hold on to this situation, I'm going to screw it up. But if I give it to you, you can bring good from it." Sometimes when I'm sitting with someone who's dying, a family member or a friend will say, I can't do this. I can't see them like this. I can't watch their last breath. And I understand. Nobody wants to see their loved one in their last moments, or certainly not in pain or agony. But I remind them, when their loved one takes that last breath, they are breathing in eternity. Death is not the end. As people of faith, We can say that. Death is not the end. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And so our call, while we are still called to this earth, is to love God, love our neighbor, and follow Jesus. The opposite of faith is not doubt. I think it's control. Or maybe fear. All those things that are not faith within us, we can lift them up. Give to God. And trust that we don't need them anymore. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. Those loved ones that we pray about, that we want to hold on to, wish we could hold on to forever, they are the Lord's. In Jesus' way, to give up death was to go through it. For only through death can there be resurrection. And we praise God every day that one of the things God does best is bring new life out of what was dead. Lazarus, he got a reprieve. The woman, the little girl that Jesus lifted up out of death, she got a reprieve. But it wasn't forever, not on this earth. She got a forever with Jesus. And that is our Christian hope. May the peace of God make you compassionate yet fearless in the face of death, and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.